Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Yisrael. Greetings to you all. This is your host, the Demon, on this edition of the Brothers segment, Elder Don. I want to welcome you all to this show. Before we get started, thanks. May I please get a sound check. Let me know how I'm coming in. If I'm doing well, give me a 10. If not, give me a rating, 1 to 10. All right, I see a few 10s. 10. All right, hallelujah. Well, praise Yahweh. Hey, Saint. Bless each and every last one of you on this Shabbat, because it is still Shabbat. I pray that you guys will edify today, that you will feel by the word that was brought forth today by our shepherd. Hallelujah. Yah is truly good, thanks. He's really truly good. He's been good to us. And we give all praise and honor to the Most High. Thanks for the faithful, the remnant, Yah's chosen people, the apple of his eye. All of you that are in here on this evening, you guys diligently make an effort to tune in week after week. And you know who you are. And you guys remind me of, Pastor once told me when I came here for a visit, it was a feast day. And it was he would come out and he would speak to the people and talk with them and spend some time with them. And there was always a huddle around him. And he told me, he said, you see all of these people who are huddling around and they're seeking knowledge. And he said, they can never get enough. He said, they're hungry. They are serious about their salvation. He said, these people here are very serious. And you guys remind me of those people, each and every last one of you who make the attempt to tune into this edition of the Brother segment. Because not only did you get a good, nutritious meal during the Sabbath message, you guys still hunger and still thirst, you know, for more. And I just commend you all because it lets me know that you guys are really serious about your souls. Hallelujah. So shout out to each and every last one of you, the faithful, the remnant. You guys, bless each and every last one of you. And as well as Brother Ugly, I really appreciate you and the work, the labor that you do, brother, co-hosting each one of the shows that you co-host, and it's greatly appreciated. So thank you, brother. Bless you. Also, Brother Steve and Sister Linda, for your tireless labor and your efforts. I mean, the work that you produce is just awesome. It was already on my heart to even mention you all because really thankful and really blessed that you guys are part of the family. My family, Israel, and everybody else that's in tonight, bless you all. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Also, give a shout out to my brother who is joining me in the tabernacle. Yeah, Brother Brad and Brother JC, they're here. Those brothers always make an attempt to get up here. And they're staying hungry as well. So bless you, each and every last one of them. So, Saints, we have a few in the chat room. Blessings to each and every last one of you. We're going to get started here today. First, I want to give all praise and honor goes to the Most High Yah. We give glory to his holy name, and none of this would be possible without him. And he's really, truly done some amazing things for us. We're going to continue to give him all the praise and honor and glory. I want to also give a big shout out and honor our pastor, our shepherd, who worked so hard, spending burning the midnight oil in order to provide for us a nutritious meal. Not only during the Shabbat messages, but during scripture study as well, in the newsletters, and all the extra work and all the labor that he does for us. You can tell that he loves the Father. It's obvious that he loves the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Thank you. He didn't have any other blessed. All right, and we give all acknowledgement to the elders as well, in the ministry, as well as the pastors who are associated with straight there, our teacher. So we give, I ask this of you as well. Keep us all in your prayers, because we could do none of this work without the prayers that really strengthen us. That Yah will give us the strength to continue on, the insight, and just keep us going, keep us striving just to serve his people. What an honor it is to be before you this day. Thanks. And from the title, you can see that the title of this message is Reconciliation. And that reconciliation has to do with, is defined in the Hebrew as 37:22. It is to cover, to purge, make an atonement, to cover over, to pitch, to coat or cover, to forgive. That's reconciliation. And as it pertains to us, let's take a minute just to think. And I'll tell you what, let's reflect on a few things that Pastor Donald mentioned today during the message. All right, he said to us that Yahweh's feasts are to keep us from bondage, from sin. And then he went on to explain the next. He said that the house of bondage is the world. He also went on to say that the King James Version calls it the house of bondage, and the scriptures call it the house of slavery. But keep this in mind, friends. He said that these appointed times are for us to help us to help us in the love of Yahweh. They are there to constantly remind us to stay away from sin. Now, think that right there is. That's grace, that's mercy, that's love, you know, that the Father has for his people. Not only did he wake us up and bring us out of darkness, but he constantly reminds us, he constantly has set apart times for us so that we can focus on him. And then we can focus on ourselves in order to purge ourselves and keep the focus at hand. What we all striving for. We're striving to enter in at the straight gate. We're striving to enter into the kingdom. And we should keep that on our mind constantly, what our goal is. And that our ambition is to ultimately make it to the kingdom. Let me say this, saints, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, if you just think back on how we, just a few years ago, many of us were preparing during this time to partake in idolatry. You know, we were preparing ourselves to partake in the festivities of this world and the gods of this world. You know, I don't know, you know, the different backgrounds, but I know what. We used to dress up. We used to get real suave and all clean. During this time of year, we pick out outfits and get ready to go and show off. And for what, though? For whom? You know, and it got to a point where it just didn't make any sense anymore. And I asked my wife, I said, what are we dressing up for? What are you wearing makeup for? What are you, you know, getting your hair done and buying new clothes? What is it all for? Why am I doing this? It doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? And so, before I came into this way, the Father started waking me up and showing me different things here and there. And I'll be honest, it got to the point where it even felt weird going out to what I used to call church on Sunday. It really felt weird. And I was like, what is going on? And there was a particular point in time where I sat in the church and I sat on the front pew and I looked around and I said, this cannot be God's people. This is not the example. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying all that to say, just a few years ago, we were blind. Our eyes were closed. And saying, I don't know about you, but for me, that's enough right there to be joyous about, to give praise to the Father. He not only did he open our eyes, but all of you all who are associated with this ministry, the Spirit Way Truth ministry, we are blessed immensely. This ministry is well-rounded. All right, there things are covered such as deliverance. You know, we operate in the spirit. There's speaking in tongues, you know. We talk about survival and how to prepare for this upcoming economic collapse and the chaos that's about to take place in this land. We cover all bases, you know. And we are so blessed to be a part of this. I don't know about y'all, but I am overjoyed. I really, truly am. And I tell you, the days that we're in praise and worship, it was just so beautiful to hear that song, We Are Hebrews. Now that song just does something to me every time. You know, every time the Saints get together and that song is played, oh man, it really truly does something. But Saints, don't forget, we are Hebrews, and not to mention the real. We are the real Israel. Hallelujah. But this message today, I'll be talking about reconciliation. And I'll look back, we'll go back into history and look at the accounts of how Yahweh delivered his people. You know, even way back when this whole thing started with Yahweh and his people, you know, and even till now. You got to think about it. Yah is a man. He's a true man. He's a man of his word. And if he says he's going to do something, you better believe he's going to do it. And we can definitely see that Yahweh is working in this hour. You know, he's restoring back unto his people. Hallelujah. The truth. He's restoring his laws back into their hearts. Hallelujah. So we have so much Israel to thank God for and to be grateful and appreciative for. And I want to tell you, don't take this lightly. Don't take this walk for granted that you're here, because we've seen many come. We've seen many come. They were overjoyed. They were excited to be a part of this faith, a part of the fold. But now look, many are gone. Many have gone away. So I want you to stay encouraged, Saints. I want you to really, truly be encouraged and walk this walk. Hallelujah. With fear and trembling. I want you to be focused, be sober, constantly. All right? And I'm going to go back just to stir your minds up by way of remembrance. Let's go over to Exodus, all right? We're going to go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. And remember this, thanks. As it says in the book, in Romans, it tells us that. Romans 15 and 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So we got a great record ahead before us of how we should conduct ourselves, how not to conduct ourselves, the ways that we should pattern our life in, and ways we should not. All right, in Exodus 1, Exodus 1 and 8, it says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it comes to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Tasmus and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So, Saints, I'm not telling you nothing new. You already know the account. You know the story of how our people were in Egypt in bondage. All right? And you know, you realize what they did, the Egyptians did unto our people, and how they cried out to the Father. And the Father did eventually hear them. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 23. And it says,
And it came to pass, in the process of time, that the king of Egypt, he died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto Yahweh by reason of the bondage. And Yahweh heard their groaning. And Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And verse 25 says, and Yahweh looked upon the children of Israel, and Yahweh had respect unto them. So Yahweh has been, he's always been there for his people. Whenever they cried out to him, he's been there for them to deliver them out of their bondage. All right? We're going to move from there. We're going to go over to Genesis, Genesis 17. All right, Genesis 17, we'll start at verse 1. Because as I said, it is no secret that Yah is, he's a man of his word. All right, and that's the reason that Yah had compassion on our ancients of old. And he stretched out his hand to recover them. You know, it was all because of the covenant that he made with Abraham. And in Genesis 17, 1 says, and when Abram, was 90 years old and 9. Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty, Yahweh. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. You hear that, huh? Abram fell on his face. And Yah talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a Elohim unto thee, to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. So you see it clear as day right there with the father and Abraham, and how he set up the covenant. And as I said earlier, we all know Yahweh is a man of his word. And that's the reason we're here today. That's the reason our eyes are open. It's because of the promise that Yahweh made with Abraham. We did nothing to earn it. His love, his grace, his mercy, nothing at all. You got to realize this, man. You know, a lot of people are quick to say, oh, I love God. I love him. And they use it so loosely. They're not even understanding what they're saying. But in their minds, they think that just because they say, I love you, that holds some weight to him. But Yahweh clearly told us that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so love has nothing to do with words spoken out of your mouth, feelings or emotions, or any of that stuff you can conjure up. It has nothing to do with that. We need to understand that we are unable to love like the Father loves. And let's just be real. We cannot love how he loves. All right? His love is unconditional. But our love to him is shown by our obedience unto his law, unto his word. That's the way in which we show our love toward the Father. You know, because let's think about it. I mean, like I said, like a while back, and the pastor even mentioned this as well, you know, you think about it, if you're feeling a certain way, depending on how you feel that day, that's predicated upon your love, on our love as humans. You know, if everything is going well in our lives and we're doing fine, then, oh, we see our brother or sister, we can, oh, that, I love you would be, oh, man, that would be a hell of a dream. But if we're down and out, you know, depending on what's going on in life, that "and I love you," that greeting may be much more different. So the Father tells us not to love in word or in by the words that come out of our mouths, but in deed and in truth. All right? So we got to remember that. Our obedience to the Father is shown, our love to the Father is shown by our obedience to the law. All right, when we consider our ancient abode, in this great book that we have, this history book, when we consider people like Ezra, Nehemiah, even King Josiah, King Hezekiah, all of whom it was placed in their hearts to restore the glory back unto Israel. And when they found the book of the law, this is the key. When they found the book of the law, that's when a deeper appreciation came about. Let's go to Ezra 8, chapter 8, starting at verse 1. You see, the thing you got to realize too, Israel, is this. Whenever you read these accounts, whenever you study these things, you got to look at it. Don't look at it from a standpoint of, oh, that's just, that was then, you know, this is now, that was ancient, you know, it's just a history lesson. I had an aunt tell me one time, you spending too much time in that Old Testament, you know? That was just for history. But you got to realize this, man, sir. You know, Pastor always tells us, those who do not know history are destined to repeat the same mistake. So we got to take this book into account and make it real, make it a part of our lives now and today. Because if you really think about it, the same thing that happened in the time of these prophets and kings is really the same thing that's going on now. Yahweh is gathering people out of bondage, putting his laws back in their hearts so that we can serve him. The same thing, he's freeing us from this bondage. And Pastor talked about that today, how we are being freed from this world, from this wicked system, free from the temptations of sin and any kind of other vile imaginations of the heart that might enter into our minds. So we need to take heed to this, right? And not just look at this as a book, as this is a history book, you know, that was then. But now, this is our people. This is our heritage. This is who we are. And that's when it'll become relevant. And you'll start to see yourself. Just like Pastor always tells us, you know, you got to make this thing relevant unto yourself. You look at yourself. Don't look at the person to the right or the left of you. Look at yourself when you read these accounts and you're studying this thing. Because search your own heart. And that's what we need to constantly do. We need to make a habit of that. Searching our own selves. You look at your brother, your sister. You look at their faults. You look at their mistakes. Sure, we all are flawed. And we make mistakes. And Brother Shane, Teacher Shane, he taught a great lesson. And he told us, why are we always looking at the veil? Why? We need to look deeper. You need to have more compassion upon your brother, your sister. You see them falling in an area, you pray for them. You admonish them. But we're so caught up on appearances. We're so caught up on the flesh. We need to have more love and more compassion one to another. And it's going to start when we look at ourselves and evaluate our own selves. Would you want someone to judge you the same way in which you judge? Nah, because you want to have mercy upon your own self. But nah, when it comes to my brother or my sister, nah. You know what? I'm going to bring down the hammer. Oh, you know what? I won't say nothing at all. I'm going to let him just perish. You know, that is wicked. And that's evil. So, Israel, let's look at these accounts and let's look at this book and consider our own selves. Put ourselves in the midst and look at what's going on in our lives today. Make it relevant. All right, look at Ezra 8. All right, 8 and 1. And it says, these are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king.
Hallelujah. I'm going to keep that going.
Yeah, Saint.
That wasn't the place that I needed to be, but I'll
tell you what, Saint. We're going to move from there. We're going to go to, let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9 and 27. I'm going to add it on. Give me that, Saint.
All right, Nehemiah chapter 9. 27. All right.
And it says, Nehemiah 9, 27, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercy, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. All right, you think about it, then. And God touched on this today as well. The whole cycle with our people, our ancient people of old. It says, Israel, listen to this, they disobeyed. Then Israel, they were oppressed. Then Israel cried out. Then Yahweh raised up a deliverer. Then Israel were delivered. And then after that, Israel was at peace. And then you have the cycle all over again. Started over again. Let us not be a people that continue the cycle of disobedience. Let our path be righteous paths, all right? And I charge you, saints, to break that cycle. Don't take God's grace lightly. Brother mentioned that on the broadcast on Sabbath evening. And he said, don't be like Christians, you know, taking God's grace lightly, as we did and as people still do in these religions out there in the world. And thinking you can still live your life the way you want and just totally having no regard for the Father. I want to tell you, Yahweh requires us. He requires the utmost respect, the utmost reverence unto him. And don't take it lightly, even when you go before him, even when you pray unto him. Don't take that thing lightly. All right? You got to wonder, too, where is the humility in this generation? Realize this, thanks to what Yah has brought you from. As I said it, earlier, a lot of us, just a few years ago, we would have been preparing ourselves for an idolatry fest. You know what I mean? Stuffing our guts with all this unclean food and, you know, living our lives according to this world and after the desires of this world. You know, just last week, me and my, I was out with my family. We had to go and try to get a few things. And out of nowhere, there came over me this I don't know how to call it, but it was this remembrance of what it was like when I was out there in the war, when I was lost. And it came into my mind, and I went into a stare, like a daze, and my wife was like, what's wrong with you thinking about? And I told her, I said, you know what, I haven't felt this, I haven't remembered this in years. And it was, it reminded me of when, you know, I was in Christianity. I was in the church, and I was doing the best that I could that I knew. You know, I wasn't living right because I wasn't obeying Yah's laws. But I thought I was doing righteous in my own mind. And the one thing about it is we lived a pretty decent life. You know what I mean? We didn't really want for anything. We did, you know, we had a little extra. And I remember we used to go out to eat all the time. you know, we would shop, whatever we wanted, whatever the flesh wanted, we would you know, indulge in that stuff. But there was still a void that was present. Something just wasn't right. It just didn't feel right. And when I looked around, when I was in town, I saw the people that were in town, and it was as if, you know, they were going about their lives. They were happy. It seemed as if they were happy. But I know good and well that those people were not happy. Because it reminded me of how I used to be. I used to have that same look on my face. I used to have that same false sense of utopia, that false sense of hope. But there really was no hope. There was a void there. Because I knew something just wasn't right. And you know the sad thing about it is this, Israel. I went to a few people that I respected in the church. And I asked them for help. I asked them for guidance. And you know the thing that really messes me up right now when I think about it is that I really honestly went to them asking them, hey, are we supposed to be doing this? Should we do this? Should it be done this way? And you know they gave me these answers that just really pacified me or comforted me or handicapped me. And now when I think about it, I get so upset. Because I seriously and honestly was seeking advice, and I was seeking to be right. But I didn't get that. But I see, I saw those people, and I saw the looks on their faces and the things that they were doing, and it reminded me, I have not felt that way in years. But when I came into the truth, I think that's when that stuff went away. I got confidence, all right? I got the reassurance. I got hope. And I realized, hey, you know what? All those feelings, all those things that I was feeling and seeing and sensing, they were not right. And now I can see why. And now all of these things are making sense. A lot of questions were answered when I came into this truth. And I just thank the Father. But I guess he had to just show me that and remind me of where I came from. And I want to tell you and to admonish you, don't take this thing lightly. Don't take this for granted. Because y'all was grace and mercy, it endured forever. But God, don't test the Father. Don't try him. And I'm going to remind you of this fact. And it tells us this in Titus. All right, Titus 2 and 11. And it talks about grace. Because people always say grace. Grace of God. You know, grace. Grace is given us this. Grace is given us that. But let's do what grace is. Titus 2 and 11 says, for the grace of Yahweh that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great Yahweh and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Glory to the King. That's what grace is all about. You know, we deny ungodliness. We turn ourselves away from that stuff. You know? But I'll tell you what, it's all predicated upon this, obedience unto the law. Let me just read this for you, because this was real interesting to me. When I just went through it real quickly, it was Psalms, right? Psalms 119. And I contrast this to all those who say that the law is not relevant. The law is no good. You know, people literally get upset when we talk about the law. You know, this one lady got so mad when he said, you're trying to develop your own doctrine after the law. And these people hate and detest and despise the law. You think about how cunning and how sneaky this is on the part of the house of time, where he would take that thing which is most important unto us. And he would switch that thing and turn it and make it something so vile and something to abhor. And that thing which you frown upon, that you don't even go to it, you don't even touch it, you don't even look at it. Like that lady told me, Mom said, that's just a history. That's just a history. That's not for us. That's not for our time. But they are liars. Let's look at a great man. Let's look at a great king in Israel, what he had to say. Let's look at a man that was really, whether you think so or not, he was a humble man. Let's see what he had to say. Let's see what King David had to say about the law. Because in this generation, in this day and time, it's a thing to abhor. You better not mention the law. Many people will argue you down. These people are willing So, Frankie, they wouldn't even want to look at it. I've been to the cities, I guarantee they couldn't even study it without falling asleep. I bet you they couldn't read not one paragraph, you know what I mean? Or one chapter without falling asleep on this law. Because it's been so embedded in their mind that the law is done away with, that it's null and void, that it's no good for us. And then you see their lives, you see the way they live. And it's a clear example that the laws of Yah are not on their heart. It is not on their mind. All right? So I'm telling you all this, Israel, I'm standing to tell you this. Don't be like these folks, all right? Not one bit. Don't think just because you're in this way, you made it and that you arrived. Because a lot of the remnant is probably still in a lot of us. So we need to purge. And that's what this season is all about. That's what this time is all about. Purging ourselves of all that leaven, all of that stuff that rises up, that puffs up, because none of that, nothing of the defiles or rises up, or puffs up, will enter into that kingdom. And let's look at Psalms, all right? We're going to go to Psalms 119, all right? It's a very popular one. We often quote from it in this ministry, hallelujah. But there's so much there, so much meat is in it. And I'll start at verse 1. And it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh. And verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. You hear that? With the whole heart they seek him. Blessed are they. All right? Look at 6. Verse 6 says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. All right? That's when a person will not be ashamed. And it says, all, not some, all of thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Yah. So King David is clearly telling us, he's clearly speaking to us and telling us why the law is so important and how we need it and why, how we need to hide it in our heart. Why we need to observe it with our whole heart. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect, excuse me, unto thy ways. 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, this is serious, yo. This is some serious stuff. This is serious coming from a king in Israel. And his love of the law, his respect and reverence of the law. This man meant business. And Yahweh really had a special place in his heart for King David. Look at verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You hear that, right? That's predicated on Yahweh opening up the eyes. Open up our eyes so that we may behold wondrous things out of the law. I tell you, saints, we are so grateful, too, in this time to have a pastor. We have pastors. You know what I mean? A pastor feeds us so well. And he often says he can't, you know, he often quotes it. We can't even hear without a preacher. How are we going to have this great mystery book opened up to us? How are we going to have this knowledge and understanding open without that, the preacher? Look at verse 18. Let's go to, we're jumping around here, so I don't know, verse 27. And it says, make me to understand by the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You see, King David is asking, the Father, pleading with the Father. That's all the way I'm going to get is if you teach me, if you help me, if you open up my understanding, if you give me the knowledge, wisdom. All right? Verse 50, we're going to skip all the way to 50. And keep in mind, this whole chapter is good. You should read it all. I'm just skipping around for the sake of time. And it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Isn't that something? That's encouragement, man. 72, Psalm 119, 72, and it says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Hallelujah. And you're going to jump to 97. Verse 97.
397 says,
oh, now, love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And listen to this. 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right? And we'll go from there all the way down to 174. Psalm 174. And listen to this. It says, I have longed. Listen, son. I have longed for thy salvation, O Yahweh, and thy law is my delight. Hallelujah. Can't you tell King Dawid had a great love affair with the Father, great love affair with his law? And she talks about continually to rehearse this in our ears and to get it in our minds, to have a greater and deeper appreciation and greater love for the Father and for his law. You know what I'm saying? We need to love him with our whole heart. Glory to the King. Let's look at this as we are talking about reconciliation and the Father restoring, returning us back unto him and purging us, covering for us, and atoning for us. Let's look at this and think about this and keep this in mind, all right? Whenever you look at the process, you study for any amount of time, you see that Yahweh always sent a message, you know, to his people, a message of repentance. Let them know, listen, if you don't straighten up and turn around, then, hey, this isn't going to happen. All right? And Yahweh always gave them hope. If only they would turn, and if only they would obey the Father. Right? I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. All right? And we're going to go over to the prophet. We're going to go to Ezekiel. All right? To explain this better to you. In Ezekiel 7, all right? Start at verse 1. And listen to what it says. You know, start at verse 1 going all the way to verse 9. And it says, moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thou sayest Yahweh, Elohim, unto the land of Israel, and end. The end is come unto the four corners of the land. Now is the end come unto thee. And I will send my anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways. I will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. You hear that, right there? And it says in verse 4, and mine eyes shall not spare thee. Now this is Yahweh speaking, all right? Through his prophet, unto his people. Listen, it says, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee. And thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh. He said, you're going to know who I am. Thus said Yahweh, Elohim, and evil, and only evil, behold, is come. And end is come. The end is come. It watches for thee. Behold, it comes. So you better believe, like I said earlier, whenever the Father said something, he's a man of his word. If he said, he don't do it. And because Israel would not listen, because they would not hearken unto the warning, first of all, they get a warning. You know, listen, straighten up, turn around. You know, and that's what this whole gospel message is about in this damn time now. Repent, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. Why do we kick against the warning? Why do we kick against Yah's grace and his mercy for us? Unto us. He's showing an unconditional love. Y'all could have been done away with Israel and made a new, raised up a new seed unto himself. But listen to this. Listen to this. And he's saying, and an end is come. The end is come. It watches for thee. Behold, it comes. And verse 7 says, the morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Verse 8 says, now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee. You hear that right, son? Don't play with Yah. And he said, now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee and accomplish my anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways and will recompense thee for all thy servant, his servant, the prophet, to warn Israel. And he said, this is what's going to happen to you, Israel, because of all your abominations. All right? The end is come. The end is come. It is near. And, you know, they even had some folk in, it was in Ezekiel as well, and he spoke about it. It was like, yeah, you know, y'all always say this, he always say this. But y'all would say, all right, you think it's a game, you think it's a joke, I'm going to show you. All right? And here's a clear example. Let's go, and I'm going to show you. Even though Yahweh, he told him what was going to happen, and it did come to pass. But look at the mercy. Look at the love that he had for us. Look at this. Let's go to the same book, but we're going to go to verse, we're going to go to chapter 11, Ezekiel 11, and we'll start at verse 14. I hope y'all keep this in mind, and bless you, our shepherd, our pastor, bless you. Hallelujah. Listen to what they're saying. Ezekiel 11, we're going to start at 14, right? And it says, again, the word of Yahweh came unto me. Talk about Ezekiel. Saying, son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they upon whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from Yahweh. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say thus, said Yahweh Elohim, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as little sanctuary in the country where they shall come. Glory to the King. Y'all don't understand the level of mercy, the level of grace. And you know, it's like I said earlier, it's because of nothing that we could have ever done. It was all based upon the promise that Yahweh made with our father Abraham. And Yahweh is a true man of his word. And men of Israel, Pastor Keith, admonishing us, and telling us, we have to be men of our word as well. We cannot say that we'll do something and then don't do it. We cannot act like we did aforetime. We can't do that. You know, too many people, you know, saints, we rely on each other because we are all we have in this world. We need to be men of our words as well, just like the Father. And we have a great example in front of us. I'm talking about, let me tell you something. Just like I said earlier, we don't have the kind of love that the Father has for us because we will quick kick the traces on each other quickly if we transgress against each other. If we do something that, you know, if my brother does something to me that I don't like. You know, my tolerance, my patience is limited. But the Father, his mercy endured forever. And you know all the stuff that Israel did to the Father. They kicked him in his face. I mean, they spit in his face. They kicked him. They kicked, you know, this prophet. And did all these things unto him. And he could have been done away with Israel. But that mercy, that grace, man, I'm telling you. All right, and it says, verse 17 says, Therefore say, thus says Yahweh, Elohim, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Was not that the promise? Was not that the promise? And I'm telling you, thanks. You know, I had the kind of love that the Father has for us. All he asks is for us to be obedient. And he tells us that these laws are not grievous. They are not hard. But one might say, well, how can I attain these laws? How can I? They're not far off where you can't reach them. They're nigh unto you. And especially us, they are made plain unto us. Now in this day, God has mercy and grace unto us. This law is becoming clear to us. You know? Oh, man, hallelujah. Yah is good, son. He's really, truly good. Glory to the King. Verse 18 says, and they shall come hither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from them. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Saints, can we not see this happening even in the daytime of the moon? Can we not see Yahweh restoring back unto us? I'm telling you, we need to learn to take this word seriously, to take this walk seriously. This is not a game. And the Father does not play. All right? Saints, I'm going to go ahead and take a little break real quick. I'll see you back shortly here. All right? Stay with me, Saints.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to the King. Bless you all, Saints Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all that hung in there. Sincerely apologize for the sound quality. That was a pre-recorded show that I had played for you all that I did maybe a year or so ago, hallelujah, on reconciliation. And also was just talking about, you know, how, you know, the level of mercy and grace Father has for us, hallelujah, and how we need to be more appreciative to Him, give more, hallelujah, of ourselves, and not take it for granted, as I said many times in that, glory to the King. But I tell you what, Saints, it truly is an honor and a privilege, hallelujah, to be here with you this evening. I sincerely hope that you all are encouraged, Saints of the Most High. We are fed so much here. So much in this ministry, you know, just reflecting back on Sabbath, and how you see how the Father, you see what He's doing to try to transform our minds and to really get us to get out of this American way of thinking, this polluted, this garbage, this trash of a mind
that we have. Hallelujah. And so he's trying to transform us. That was so good the way Pastor answered that question or addressed that letter, the question that was asked in the letter. Hallelujah. And we definitely need to get back to the book. That's the proper order, the proper perspective. Hallelujah. So we need to keep that in mind going forward, how, you know, we really need to really evaluate situations and things before we engage in them, even the questions that we ask before we ask them, and really sit down and meditate on it and really think and compare it to the Word as much as possible. Hallelujah. Because, you know, it's just the truth. We come from just a polluted state, a polluted way of doing things, very arrogant and very prideful, you know, and you couldn't tell us nothing. Many of us, even now, you still can't tell us nothing. So hard-headed, you know, and stubborn. But I tell you what, that's something that's really significant and something that's really unique going on with Yah's people, his remnant, in this last hour. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I pray that the sound is coming in good, saints. I just had a couple of things to talk to you about. That was really on my mind and my heart past few days, you know. And Pastor mentioned it on Shabbat, this past Shabbat. And it has to do with our level of commitment and dedication to the Father. You know, he mentioned about that NFL player who really lived a life of discipline and a life of total dedication unto that craft. Unto his on that sport, as they call them, professionals. Hallelujah. And it really hit home, because it's like they're doing this, as we say, for an incorruptible, a corruptible crown. You know what I mean, saints? That doesn't have no weight at all. What they're doing it for? That's only temporary. You know what I mean? And so, what are the people of Yah doing? What are we doing? Can our lifestyles be looked at and examined in that way? Or that where others look at it and marvel at the level of dedication. Can the same be said for us, Israel? And it's the truth. We need to really ask ourselves that. And that's one of those things that really got me, you know, got me like, man, I had to really just be honest with self, you know what I mean? Because a couple of days ago, it was just on my mind, on my heart, about, you know, going deeper, going, you know, drawing closer to the Father. And what it's going to require a lot more sacrifice. It's going to require to dig even deeper, saints of the Most High. And that's in prayer, that's in fasting, you know, in studying of the Word. I mean, that's our total. It's going to take every ounce of energy that we have. And I'm saying this to you, but this, it goes to my, you know, it's first. Applies to me, myself. But I'm speaking it to you. I'm full well know, you know what I mean? We all know our own situation. We all know, you know, our heart knows its own bitterness. Hallelujah. And but we need to, as a whole, as a people, develop that type of, man, just as Pastor was saying, you know, we need to strive for masteries in that manner, you know. It's a shame when we look out in the world and we see individuals, you know, that are going hard, whatever the cause is. But when we look at Israelites, we're talking about Yah's people here. Can't even measure up to what they're doing. It can't even be seen in you. You know, it doesn't reflect who you serve. It doesn't reflect what you're doing. Many of you look just like the world, no difference. And so that's the thing, you know. We read all of these signs, and especially in the renewed covenant in the New Testament, we see the miraculous works that took place. You know, all the signs and wonders and all this power that was displayed. You know, saints, we need to be going further. It needs to be evident, the power that we have. You know what I'm saying? As a whole, as a unit. I'm going to read something here to you. This is from this deliverance, this booklet here. It's a booklet 5. It's Curses and Soul Ties, Binding and Loosing Spirits by Wynn Worley. All right. I'm going to read from page 15 here. And it basically says, only believers armed with the word and practice and using supernatural power in their everyday lives will be able to cope with the tides of wickedness sweeping the world. That we have superior weaponry, equipment, and power is beyond question. So we have these things, you know what I mean? It's already at our disposal. We just need to tap into it. But unfortunately, most believers are woefully ignorant and living far, far beneath their birthright. As we crash headlong into the beginnings of the terrible darkness of the end times, religious cliches and formulas will be splintered beyond repair. In any confrontation with the raw supernatural power of the evil one, only power from the third heaven will avail. Easy believism must be replaced by viral living faith. In days ahead, the ability to lay hold on the power of the Elohim may easily determine the difference between life and death. Those unaware of or denying the power of the demonic realm shall be helpless in the face of the coming all-out assault from the spirit world. Truly, how slow of heart we are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I tell you what, you know, that's real true, what he's speaking about. You know, I remember hearing Pastor saying, you know, just out of the blue, just came, he must have been in thought, and this was after a scripture study, he came, and we were standing in the back, and he just said, you know what, it's going to come a time on this earth where we're going to have so much faith that if we are cornered, there's no other place to run. And there's a cliff or dead end or whatever the case is, we're going to have enough faith, enough power behind it to make a path so we can, you know, pretty much run through it. In essence, what he's saying is pretty much we're going to have so much faith that if we need to walk on water, we're going to have to walk on that water. We're going to have to make a way to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? If there's a cliff there, you know, there's no more road, we're going to have enough faith to command a road to come right there. You know what I mean? To be put before our feet. Stuff like that, which may seem so far off from our minds, if that makes sense to you. But what this was saying is, you know, if you're not using that power, you're not exercising it now, you're denying it, you don't believe in it, then what's going to happen when we're in a situation where we're in an all-out war, an attack, whether through demonic spirits, whether through the officials of this land, Satan's host that will be made manifest? You know, all we have to do is just read in the New Covenant. We see, you know, how you know, Israelites was placed in jail. We see how, you know, they were treated just harshly. You know what I mean? But we also see signs and wonders. We see them, the apostles. We see the prophets doing some mighty things. You know. So we gotta get to that level, saints. So don't think it's a weird thing if you, like Pastor mentioned, if you see a guy, and you use, for instance, Philip, and how he was in one place, you know, speaking with the eunuch, and he baptized him, and then as they come up out of the water, bam, he's in a whole nother place, preaching Jesus Christ. Don't think this is something weird. Don't think this is something strange. You know what I mean? Like, it's so far off. I know sometimes we can read some of this stuff, and it'll go right by, you know, it'll go right over our heads. Take the time to meditate on these things and consider what's really being said. We're going to need it, saints. We are going to need this. We're going to need to be able to tap into this power. We're going to have so much faith that we're commanding these things to happen. Because Satan's going to be after us. We already know the account. We already know this. After those that keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yeshua. We already know these things, saints. But the only way we can get to this level, the only way, we got to have a sincere and a deep, deep relationship with the Father. Be very serious. Be very sober-minded. A life of discipline. Is that something you're willing to do? Or is that something that you're able to do? Are you capable of doing it? Now, sure, it doesn't speak too much about Philip, you know, and Stephen, but we see that they were men of great faith. That's the one thing the Bible says, they were men of great faith. You know what you display when you don't purpose it in your heart and make up in your mind that you want to change and you want deliverance? Basically, you're saying, in essence, that you don't believe that it can happen. You don't believe that it is so. You don't believe that your situation can change. You're denying the power. You're denying what Yeshua, what he did, the sacrifices that he made, and something as small as that. So you can forget about, you know, trying to do any miracles or any such thing. But these things are within reach for us, saints. And I really believe that the call is going out for us as a whole, as a body, to really tap in and go deeper. And you know what? I think one of the tools is going to be through fasting, you know, dying out to that flesh, killing that flesh, making that flesh suffer so that we can get closer to the Father. Much prayer. And much studying of the word, much meditation needs to take place. And really disciplining our lives from the things that we eat, from the things that we watch, the things that we hear. You know, a while back, Pastor told us that we need to be praying and asking the Father, guide my thoughts, guide my mind, you know, my intellect, my speech, everything about me. But we're going to have to really hone into this thing. And I'm going to read. Let's see, real quickly here on fasting. This is from Spiritual Warfare, the book. And it says here on page 157, and it says, fasting aids spiritual growth. It helps you deny the flesh and the soul in order to make your spirit the master. You hear that? That's the key. So you kill out all that flesh in order that your spirit man will rise and be in control, making the spirit master over the physical body and soul is absolutely necessary in any believer's spiritual walk. The spirit should be under the total control of the Holy Spirit and needs to be kept in a cleansed condition for his use. Listen to this. It says, people who fast often grow so used to fasting that the body and soul hardly resist anymore. So that's the person that constantly does it. Their pleadings and begging simply don't work, and they give up. You know, a lot of times you get tempted during fasting, and even when you purpose it in your heart to do so, the temptations come, especially when you get that rumble in your stomach or you get, you know, that sensation, you know, that I'm, you know, be without. That's when it needs to come a time where, you know what, listen, I decided in my heart I'm going to fast for however long, for however so many periods of time or however I'm going to do this fast. You need to make it up in your mind that you stick to it. Don't allow Satan to put thoughts in your mind talking about, oh, I'm not going to make it through the day. I'm going to pass out. I'm going to fall out, this and that. Stop with all of that. You got to believe and trust in Yah. Because Satan's going to do everything he possibly can do in order to keep you from getting closer to the Father. And I'm going to tell you something about fasting. It really truly is. And you know what? I've noticed this too. You know, even when I decide that I'm not going to eat, whether miss a meal or whatever the case is, I notice how my just how focused I am. Whereas I've noticed, you know, if I do have a meal or I come home, I'm just tired and it's hard to get things done. It really truly is. And but I notice when, you know, I neglect eating or if I'm fasting, how focused I am on getting things done. You know, and how clear my mind is and how clear my thoughts are and thinking and how patient I am as well in order to sit there and get things done. But I think that's one of the things that we need to really, really focus on. As you get the clearance to do it or you know, you feel the need to do that, that's personal between you and Yah. Hallelujah. But I believe that fasting will help us to get to that place, you know, just afflicting our souls. Because we're real prideful, believe it or not. You know we are. When we eat and when we're full and when we're satisfied, you know, we could care less about what's going on spiritually. Hallelujah. Because that flesh is pleased. But that's the thing we got to die out to. Hallelujah. And make up it in your mind, whatever it takes to get there. Get it done. Hallelujah, saints. But definitely we need to reach forward and we need to strive. Hallelujah. Because we just have too many luxuries. We have too much comfort at our disposal. When we need to be a people of mourning and affliction and just a people that's crying out, seeking the Father. And we see throughout history, that's how things happen. That's how Yah, you know, really answers people. That with obedience and prayer and a clean heart, no malice, no ill will, and, you know, not trying to repay evil for evil and all of these other wicked things. No, with a clear heart, with a clear mind, and a clear conscience, can we achieve these things? That's what he's calling us to be, saints. The fruits of the Spirit need to really be dwelling in us. They need to be made manifest. Need to be seen. Hallelujah. But you know, those are some things that I had just working on my mind and everything. And definitely we need to go a little bit deeper. Hallelujah. As Israel, as the remnant, as Yah's people. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. And not one, you know what? Just say this. Don't think that, you know, that you've made it because you're here now and you've seen so many go. Be very mindful, saints, of what's going on, because Satan's going to do whatever he can to knock you off course and throw you off, to steal your joy and to cause you to fall and to miss the mark. Make it up in your mind, saints, that you're willing to give your life if need be, in order to make it. All right? Because we're going to need it, saints. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what I was going to read. I was going to just read, let's see, Daniel here. And just show you, just his state. You know, this is a man, he stayed praying, stayed in a constant state of just fasting and afflicting his soul. Hallelujah. And that's Daniel 9:3, and it says, "And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek." You hear that? He set his face, he set his heart before Yahweh to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We see a lot, we read a lot of times how in our ancients really, really were seeking answers from Yah, how, you know, they were fast. But not only that, but they would do it with sackcloth and with ashes. So they would pretty much strip themselves and abase themselves to the lowest state that they can possibly get to. Nothing else around them mattered, nothing else. It was just them and Yah. Just seeking him, just really trying to get his attention and to show him, listen, I'm crying out to you. I need answers. I'm crying out. I need help. I'm crying out. deliver me. That's how we need to be, saints, in a constant state of just crying out to the Father. Hallelujah. But we got to be disciplined also in our lives, and that's always an area we can improve in. And in disciplining and being organized and doing things in an orderly manner, being men and women of our words, sticking to our plan, and just really seeking to be devout, really being devout. Hallelujah. That's giving our all unto the Father. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. But, saints, that's just wanted to talk to you about that, just a few things there briefly, where we need to be going forward here, because it's really time. We see how all that's going on around us, the world is in, just total despair. It's a sense of hopelessness. I mean, this, if ever there was a time where there was just, man, no peace, we're living in it. And we know it's getting worse. It's getting significantly worse, all over the world. But we look at, let me see here, John 14 and 12. I'm going to go here real quick. John 14, 12. Let's see what it says. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, hallelujah, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. So definitely we should be doing greater works. Hallelujah. Much more than we're doing now. Glory to the King, as a people. But even so, as a people, remembering this, we are Yah's people. Right? And we shouldn't be entangling ourselves in the things of this life. And you see all that's going on with how this country is trying to pretty much, hypnotize the people or blind them and cause them to be all enraged and hating one another. We as Israel, this is not our fight. It really truly is not our fight. However, we need to be guarded and mindful, of what goes on in our everyday life. Like I said, we don't get a chance to pick the day evil comes to us. Hallelujah. However, we need to really be sober and watching and really praying. Pray it up each and every day. But the things that are going on out in the world, we need to try to make sure that we're not too, getting all involved in this stuff where we want to go out there and be, participating in this stuff and allow that to spew up in us. When we're at our workplaces, those of us who are out there in the world, not to allow that wicked spirit, that spirit of racism, to creep up inside of us and have us acting out, because it's nothing but a spirit. It's really foolish. People don't even understand why they operate in the way that they are and who's really controlling them. So watch out for that, saints. Don't get involved in that. I'm going to go to John 18. Let me see. Yeah, did I do that? John 18 and 36 here. And it says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. That I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Hallelujah. So we're not ruling at this time. Hallelujah. So whatever's going on now, hey, let it be. You know what you need to be doing. You know what you need to be striving for in order to make it to that new kingdom, that new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So don't be entangled in all this foolishness. Keep your mind set, focused on your goals. We're trying to get to the kingdom, saints. We are. And it's going to take everything that we have in order to get there and to stay focused. We got to stay in a constant state of fighting, constant state of battle. Glory to the King. I want to say one thing, a couple things to you before I go. And I really did slip my mind. I want to tell you also, go check out Pastor's videos that he put out lately. Put out, I think, three today, and as well as the other day he did one. Really good. I didn't write the title of it, but check out the last four or five videos. They're pretty good. Just explaining what's going on really in this world. There's a lot that's going on to try to blind the minds of people from what's really taking place abroad. Man, it's just getting crazy. And, you know, Messiah even warned the disciples and all about the times, the end times. You know, we're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but we can't let that affect us, saints. We got to go forward. These things must take place. You know, it can seem overwhelming, you know, when you sit there and you continue to consume yourself with that. But just know that these things must take place. And to be honest with you, it don't look good at all. It does not look good what's about to take place. I mean, it's about to be a serious war. And we know it's coming. We know it's coming. But it's not looking good, saints of the Most High Yah. So as many as you can, get out of those cities. And you know Pastor's been preaching that for the longest. Get out. Get out. Get out. And also, take advantage, man. Take this time, too, to really prioritize. Make sure you have some food, water. You hear me? Different first aid items and essential hygiene needs and things. And whatever tools you may need to get, survival tools and things. Take advantage of this time to get those things now, saints. Don't wait. Don't prolong none of it. Because you don't want to find yourself in a situation where shit hit the fan and you don't have nothing. You just, you know, you've heard the warnings. You've heard, you know, the cry to prepare, but you didn't do so. I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a frightening place to be, an experience for you. So definitely get ready, saints. Hallelujah. But it ain't looking good out there. So continue to pray for the saints. Continue to pray for one another. Hallelujah. Pray for our pastor, elders, and leaders in Israel, and one another. Definitely pray for one another. You know, Pastor told us a while back to get some type of camera in the vehicle. Whereas when you are, if you are stopped, you can have some type of documentation. You can, you know, and there's ways in which you can get these cameras to where the video is stored up in the cloud, that, you know, it won't be lost. He told us this a while back. You know, even me, it slipped my mind. It really did. So make ways in order to make that happen, saying so that you will have some type of camera in your vehicle, or whether it's your cell phone and you have a mount for it, where you can easily, you know, start recording what goes on in case you are pulled over by police officers, because we see what these guys are doing. Excuse me, what they're doing. Very terrified, very frightened, you know, of average people, you know, people that are really not causing a threat, but they're just fearing. They're very afraid. So make sure you cover yourself, cover all bases, and be very sober when you are, and if you are, stop in this capacity. Hallelujah. So just make those, you know, work on those things, saints. You know, I know how it is in this time. There's so many different things to get, so much, so many items on the list to get, to do. But let's make these things priority and attack them quickly. Hallelujah. So, but glory to the King. Thanks. Want to tell you also to really, really, really stay hydrated out there. I mean, it is very hot, and it's only going to get hotter in this next month or so. And so make sure you are drinking water as you should be. Staying hydrated. That's very important. Glory to the King. Because you can easily be out working or doing whatever and forget. And hallelujah, you don't want that to happen. So, yes, glory to the King. Bless you, saints. It's really, I appreciate you all hanging in there. Once again, I apologize for the beginning of the broadcast with the sound quality. I bless you all. Hallelujah. And, you know, saints, just be encouraged. No doubt about it. I try to always say something to encourage you on this walk, because, you know, we're in this thing together. We really are. I tell you what, there's nothing more beautiful than the saints of the Most High Yah. When we come together, when we're in unity and on one accord. You know, saints, you see a brother, you see a sister who, you know, is falling short in an area, and you're able to help. Do what you can to help, saints. You know, seriously, do what you can to help. don't look at it as if all this person is that and they're doing this and you're putting yourself upon a pedestal or as if you're better. No, we don't win that like that. We cannot make it there, you know, being separated and divided. We got to learn, you know, to forgive one another. We got to learn to be our brother and our sister's keeper. Hallelujah. We all we got, saints, and that's just the truth. But I'll tell you, it was a joyous time on yesterday, Sabbath, as we hung out together, you know, and had a wonderful time just enjoying and having a feast and, you know, enjoying our brother and our sister. They came together, Brother Ron and Sister Tamar. Hallelujah. And this is just a beautiful thing, man. Family is really, truly beautiful. And I pray that your assembly, I always pray that too, that your assembly, that you're all on one accord and you really are doing what you can to follow the man of Yah and the teaching that go forward. It's only going to edify you, only going to bring peace in your lives, peace in your homes. Hallelujah. So if nothing else, man, saints, let's really try to go a little deeper. Go a little deeper, strive a little harder, give a little more of ourselves. No matter what it takes, you know, if you just give. Hallelujah. Yah was worthy of it. He is truly worthy of it. What else is there out here? Nothing else. Nothing else is out there. So let's give our all to the Most High Yah, because He required of us with our whole heart, with our whole mind. He wants it all. Hallelujah. Y'all be encouraged, saints. Be encouraged. Glory to the game. Thank you once again, Brother Ugly, for co-hosting and hanging in there. Hallelujah. I greatly appreciate everything you do, every single thing. And bless all of you, saints. Y'all stay strong. Stay encouraged. Hallelujah. The King is coming. Bless you all. Shalom, shalom.